I'm a little, if you'll just give me a moment to get my feet underneath me, I'm a little taken back. There's some things about God and ways that he works that never ceases to amaze me. And something has happened since I walked in here. I got here about 9 minutes ago, 2 minutes before we started. I don't want to sound hyperbolic, but it's really taken me back. It's kind of taken my breath away. And I think it'll make more sense once we get into this. But if I have ever had God confirm something I felt for a service, I've seen him confirm it in a lot of ways. But this may be one of the most bizarre things that's ever happened. And I actually had a thought of how to present this on the way here. And then I walk in the door. If you would, I don't know who they belong to. Huh? Brother David. Where's Brother David at? Is Brother David here? All right, Brother David. I'm just telling you, if you've never been used of God, you were used of God tonight. And you'll never be more used of God than you were tonight bringing all those vegetables. I'm just telling you right now. Hey, would you go get those for me? Thank you for bringing those. Would you go get those buckets for me? Well, I love it too. Bring those in here. My mind is blown. I cannot even. And when I walked in and looked down at the buckets with the vegetables in them, the Lord's talking to me on the way here, and I thought, now, Lord, I could really drive this point home, but it's too late. And who brings a basket of vegetables to church? Help me. I want take them out and just kind of pile them up. Don't bruise them. Just roll it over here. I don't want you to bruise them. You do it one by one. It's going to take forever. Now, I'm going to tell you, after Jesus victoriously fulfilled a 400-year, or was, I don't remember how many, it was hundreds of years, a prophecy when he rode in on that man's donkey, when that was all said and done, every man there wishes that he would have let Jesus borrow his donkey. It wasn't quite an inconvenience then. If you would you just kind of, there's a reason. Just take them and kind of put them all right here. Pile them all right there. This is going to make sense in a minute. I just, my God, have mercy. All right. That's what I've envisioned. Before God, that's what I envisioned. I thought that's just not gonna happen. Well, I'm going like this to make sure. And I need that wicker basket. Leave that wicker basket. Okay, it's right there. Just leave it right there. I'm gonna use it. All right. Genesis 4. It's good to be back. And I want to say before we get in this, all of you that were involved with TCYC, I commend you. I'm in a lot of meetings throughout the year, and I could really tell that there was a great percentage of this church that was engaged, involved in doing something. And I, along with Pastor, I feel like it was a great success. And yes, it was a great success because the Holy Ghost helped us, but it was a great success because of the service of the servants of this church. And so I give you honor. Thank you so much for serving and being such a help. It's such a blessing to be a servant. I said, it's such a blessing to be a servant. And everything was done first class. And I just, every time I looked up, you guys were moving and working. And so thank you so much. I know Pastor was proud of you, but you made Pastor and Pastor's wife proud. And you made True Church look real good. And so thank you so much. Genesis chapter 4. And let's begin reading at verse number 1. Genesis chapter 4, King James Version. That verse I asked for in a different translation, you just hold that one, save that one. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of the sheep. But Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought the fruit of the ground, an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also, somebody say he also. He also brought, now this is, there's a key here, of the firstlings. Someone say firstlings. Of his flock. And of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his disciple, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field. Boy, this escalates real quick. That Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. This escalates real quick. I want to go back. And I want to look at verse 3. Just you, please save the other. We're going to get into this, and then we'll use that. I think it's actually, I need it in that different translation in Genesis 4, 3 and 4. We'll use that once we get in this. In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought the fruit of the ground, an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. Praise God. How many is thankful for the word of the Lord? You can be seated. If it's all right with you, I'm going to come down there where you're at. No, it's all right. I don't need that. I want this for one scripture reference is all. Now, I could probably go through the whole rip through it, and it would probably all sound new to you because, and I'm included in this, but a few weeks ago, the first Wednesday that I came, I started off kind of where I want to start off tonight, and there's a reason. In fact, this was born, you forgive the rough draft, I haven't really had time to completely develop this, and oftentimes, God, this is just the way he works with me, so we'll wend our way through this. But I told you that I had been spending time, a lot of time, from cover to cover, looking at the fact that Jesus, his word, it's very important to him, not just what we do, but how we do what we do. Okay? And I think as I started that night, I think I ripped off a bunch of examples just real quickly, just started firing away from, it's everything, all of the spiritual staples that are necessary for our survival. He speaks of them not just in the importance of doing them, but the necessity of how we are to do them. And so I'm going to begin tonight by just mentioning a few of these again. That's where this was born. Yes, it's important that we pray. In fact, prayer is so important that it's just a given. In fact, the scripture says, when you pray. It's, prayer is something that's expected. When you pray, not if you pray. If you're a follower of Christ, if you're a believer, if you're born again, it's just a given. Prayer is as much a part of the Christian's life, or it should be, as the normal carnal man eats. Or talks. I mean, that is what prayer is. In fact, I'm reminded, my wife encountered an elderly gentleman that he didn't need to work. He was just working to stay busy. And they got to talking, and he was checking her out, and he told her that that day he was celebrating his 70th wedding anniversary. 70 years. My wife asked him, she said, what is the secret? You know what he said? That quick, I'm sure he'd been asked that before, but that quick he said, keep talking. Keep talking. He articulated in two words what destroys a lot of relationships and marriages is people clam up and they quit communicating. As communication, as important as communication is in a marriage, that same importance, that relationship, a marriage, my God, I didn't come to preach a marriage seminar here tonight, but as dependent as marriages are on communication, same thing in your relationship with God is in reference to prayer. Marriages won't last where there's not communication, and a relationship with God will never last if there's not prayer. It's that simple. If you are not communicating with God, I don't care how much you say that you love him. If you're not talking to him and he's not talking back to you through his word, it's not going to last. So it's a given. When you pray, when you fast. Now, fasting and praying and being faithful and giving, that was one of the ones that I'd ripped off as I was going down through there when I started a couple of weeks ago on our first Wednesday night. One of the ones I was talking about was giving. And there's no argument here today that giving is part of the Christian life. But as important and as pertinent as giving is, he says, it's not just important that you give, it's important how you give. He said, don't give out of necessity. Don't give begrudgingly. He said, God loves a cheerful giver. In fact, I dare say that it's not the size of the offering that impresses God, but it's the spirit of how we present the offering. That's why he said, come on, that's why he took note of the little widow woman, and all she had to put in the offering bucket was a couple of mites, but it was the spirit in which she was giving her offering. Others came to the basket and they gave more than she gave. Come on, but it was the spirit of her offering that got his attention. That's why he said, when you're approaching, there's no one here that's going to argue the fact that coming to the altar is important. But he said, if you approach the altar with a gift, he said, and you still got something in your heart against your brother, Nobody here will argue that it's important to God that we bring a gift to the altar. But what I'm trying to reiterate to you is that it's not just important that we bring an offering to God, a gift to God. It's the spirit in which we bring it to Him with. Now, it is a sad thing to me, Brother Gilbert, and I'm thankful for your pastor. He's just trusting the process. I told him, just stick with it. God's doing some things. It's evident to me that there's some things going on. It's evident to me that God has weaved my ministry into the tapestry of this church. You just got to trust. You got to trust the process. But I'm telling somebody, listen to what I'm telling you right now. God does not want to try to work with our leftovers. For the longest, Pastor, he's been willing to do it because he wants our attention and he wants relationship with us so much that God has been willing to take what we have left over that we give him, and he's worked miracles with it. But I remember a couple of years ago in the month of January, the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, I've been willing to work with your leftovers, but I wonder what I could do if you would give me your best instead of just giving me what's left over after you give your best to everybody else. Hallelujah. God loves us and he wants relationship with us. And so God at times will put up with our lame lambs. Is it okay if I say it that way? But what could God do in Denison if we weren't offering up lame lambs anymore? What could God do in Truth Church if we were giving him our best? Hey, hear what I'm telling you. A man that doesn't provide for his family is worse than an infidel. If you don't work, you don't deserve to eat. But ladies and gentlemen, I don't want to give my boss better than what I give God. I don't want to give my job better. If some of you would just be as faithful to church as you are your job, it would make an incredible difference in your life. Well, there's a big difference. You're right, there's a big difference. Come on, you can't be saved without the church. You can't be saved without the assembling together. How much sense does it make for us to want God to give us his all? When we're looking at every, I'm going to be so oaky right now, and we're close enough to Oklahoma, I can be oaky. How much sense does it make to demand God give us his all when we spend all of our cotton picking time trying to find every corner we can cut? If God did to you like you do to him, you wouldn't hang around. Yes, sir, I'm right. God, you can't, you don't even let God, you don't even give God time to answer prayers. 2 or 3 days if it hasn't happened. There's a choking dust cloud from you stomping your feet, acting like you wouldn't let your little kids act at home. Because God hadn't given you a miracle yet. And God's up there scratching his head saying, you're demanding me to give everything to you while I'm having to put up with your leftovers of what you give me. You listen to me. God's put a word in my spirit. I'm not picking on Truth Church. I believe in Truth Church. And I'm saying, look what the Lord has been willing to do with leftovers. What could happen in Denison, Texas, if we gave everything?
Well, that's just Brother Gilbert. He just expects too much.
If you expect to keep your job, you ain't walking around belly aching and grumbling about your boss expecting too much. I
So it's not just important to God what we're doing. It's important to God how we're doing what we're doing. I got a title. Y'all are good. Something just landed. Who am I talking to? Oh, he's running the camera too. This guy's so techie, he could probably put my title on there right there. I got you a title. Put it up there. You ready? All is an attitude. It's an attitude. You may think all is an adjective, but all is an attitude. And so, Bishop, we love you. Glad you're here. So the story of Cain and Abel has always bothered me. And the reason it's bothered me is because I believe that God is an equal opportunist. Now, I'm just telling you, the Apostle Paul said it. He said, I can only tell those things which I have seen and heard. And it's been perplexing to me, but it's starting to clear up and make sense how two people can sit side by side on the same pew chairs, on the same chairs, exposed to the same messages. Sometimes it's siblings raised the same way, live in the same house, have the same parents, go to the same youth meetings. Hear the same sermons, go to the same youth camps, and one make it and the other one not. Afforded the same opportunities. In fact, sometimes I've seen this play come and play with people across the aisle. Has nothing to do with the hand you've been dealt. Because oftentimes, boy, I feel this right now, oftentimes the people that stand and shine and so spiritually are sustained, actually, if you compare their situation with the situation of the person that didn't make it, oftentimes the person that is spiritually sustained, that's standing and shining, has more things against them. Everything boils down, listen to me, it is not situational. It's about your spirit. I could do a mic drop, and there ought to be people running the altar right now. It has nothing to do with situation. If it's situational, then Lucifer should have never been kicked out of heaven. He had one responsibility, worship God, and he couldn't live for God when there wasn't a devil. Lucifer lived in a perfect world. Well, it's situational. It ain't got nothing to do with situation. It's got to do with your spirit. Samuel's kids, Job's kids. Situational? Was there a greater church? Boy, I feel what I'm preaching. Was there a greater church than the first church? Ananias and Sapphira. Was there a greater ministry than the Apostle Paul's? Demas. Oh, you want me to go bigger? If I could be placed anywhere in time, God manifests in flesh, 3.5 years of earthly ministry, Judas. How many nails do I have to put in this for you to believe me right now? It's not situational. But the flip side of that is, it's the Ruths. It's the sons of Korah. Situationally, it was all messed up. But their spirit, come on, they had a spirit that said, I want to do what I can do, and I want to do it right. Here's the deal, folks. If I'm going to come to church, come on, I don't want to just come to church to punch the clock. I don't want to just come to church to keep somebody off my back. I don't want to just come to church out of tradition. I don't want to just come to church because I've been in this for four generations. If I'm going to come to church, I want to come right. I want to do the right thing the right way with the right spirit. For the life of me, I don't understand why anybody would come to church. Why even come to church if you're going to stand there with your hands in your pocket? Why even come to church if you're going to gripe and bellyache and complain and criticize and critique everything that's happening? No, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Be seated. Well, I like it when I come here on Wednesday nights. He gives it to me so early, it makes me feel like I hadn't been preaching very long. So the story of Cain and Abel has always bothered me. And the reason it's always bothered me is because God is not a negotiator when it comes to his principles and his precepts. But at the same time, God is not unreasonable. He's not unreasonable. Now, what's interesting to me, you're welcome to go study this, the Jewish scholars actually believe that Cain and Abel were twins. That speaks to this whole equal opportunity deal. Fact, I refuse to believe that Cain, I don't believe anybody is born predestined. I don't believe God works that way. It wouldn't be relationship if he took away from us the power of choice. It's like I don't believe Judas was predestined to be a betrayer. He made those choices. Jesus could have still died without Judas betraying him. Esau made his choices. I don't believe that Cain was born predestined to fail. In fact, if you really wanted to get in a robust dialogue about this, when Cain was born, not Abel, when Cain was born, the Bible says, the Lord hath given you a man. I understand it was, yes, a messianic. I understand it was a messianic prophecy. But it was more than, Brother Gilbert, it was more than just a messianic prophecy when it spoke of the seed bruising the head. I believe that in the next generation, God was already setting this thing in motion where, because he's merciful. Yes, he had to judge Adam and Eve, and I don't have time to talk about all that, but I believe immediately he was already trying to create a way that Cain and Abel and the next generation could get back up on their feet. Okay, you've created a problem, but I'm not just going to keep cursing generation after generation. So, all that stuff. And I don't want you to be critical, because I'm still going to preach it. And I still like it when people preach it. All right? So let's rewind a little bit. Now you're wondering, well, Brother Marks, your whole life, why have you had trouble with the story of Cain and Abel? Because here's the reason. Because God's not unreasonable. And you can't find me anywhere in Scripture. It's not there. It's not even implied. Now, we can fill in a lot of gaps and make a lot of assumptions, but you can't pick your Bible up and prove to me where Cain knew that it was supposed to be a blood sacrifice. Thank you, sis. That's about the response I figured I'd get. You know why you're not, you know why? They're looking at you right now. You know why? And that's what I want you to do. That's what you're supposed to do. You know why? Because that's just, to us, that's just automatic. He was slain before the foundation of the earth. As New Testament believers, we believe that there's no remission of sin without the shedding of blood. We know the Old Testament. Cain and Abel didn't know the Old Testament. Now, immediately what somebody does is they say, well, you can't even prove to me that Adam knew. You think that just because Adam seen the Lord jerk the skin off of an innocent animal and cover their nakedness with bloody, how was Adam, there's no scripture that says, Adam could have thought it was in the hair of the covering as much as he could have thought it was in the blood that was behind the hide. Now, it preaches good because you and I know, we understand. Now, there may be a chance that God made Adam privy of that. Okay, he may have revealed that to him, but the New Testament law was not in motion yet. There wasn't bulls and goats. Are you with me right now? It hadn't been written yet. It hadn't been given by God yet. And that's always bothered me as to God. Why would you reject a man's offering? He's a farmer. Is there anybody else that's ever bothered? Okay. Yes, Abel's got, he's a keeper of the sheep. So he's got a sheep to bring. Why would you judge a man? So God, was Cain just supposed to know that you wanted a lamb and not a zucchini? Is that what that is? Making sure. That's always bothered me. And so I slid over, and the first thing I come to is Abel makes it to the Hall of Faith. Are you with me? I know I'm slowed down. This is going somewhere. Abel makes it to the Hall of Faith in Hebrews 11. And here's the reason. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent. Oh, well, maybe that's where we take it from. More excellent because he brought a lamb and not a zucchini. No, because if you look at the Greek word that, if you look at the Greek word that's translated excellent, it's a word that deals with a number or a quantity. You know why God deemed what Abel did as faith? It wasn't the something. It was the something, S-U-M. You didn't hear what I just said. It wasn't the something, S-O-M-E-T-H-I. That wasn't what, at this point in time, that wasn't the biggest issue with God. Faith. Abel had faith because he brought a more excellent sacrifice. It was the sum, S-U-M. It was the spirit. God have mercy. It was the spirit. It was not just the sacrifice. I'm going to preach this right now. It was not just the sacrifice of Abel, and it was not just the sacrifice of Cain. It was the spirit in which they brought their sacrifice. God. The fact, we got any farmers here? The fact of the matter is, if you wanted to put the two next to each other, it's not easy being a farmer. And I don't believe God's so unreasonable. He knows the sweat that's involved in tilling the land, come on, and putting the seed in the ground and keeping the fowl away. You think it was just an issue of God saying, I don't want your cantaloupe. Not ready for what I'm about to tell you. Cain offered a more excellent. It was the sum, the S-U-M. And so the way this hit was I was reading this in a different translation. And I'm 43 years old, so let's just say maybe it was 10, 12. I started thinking about this stuff when I was pretty young. 30 years. I'm reading this in a different translation, and boom. This pops up. Go three. In the course of time, Cain brought. So I'm going to show you. I don't have sheep, okay? I'm going to show you the difference. All is an attitude. Oh God, here we go. The Holy Ghost is talking to me right now. Offering is not just a noun. Offering is a verb. Oh my God. Did y'all hear that over here? Offering is not just a noun. Offering is a verb. I'm convinced. Hey, it's good to see you. Oh, you was back there. I seen you a minute ago. I thought I'd been picking on you too much. You said, I ain't going to hear that guy again. I've embarrassed you enough. I'll leave you alone for a while. I'm managing to do it again. And I actually like gender. Praise God. If Abel had been the farmer, this is, and I'm thinking this, driving here. If Abel had been the farmer, oh, I'm going to worship God. You need to keep clapping because I'm preaching right now. I'm not talking, but I'm preaching. Oh, it's kind of full. This is how Abel worships God. Keep clapping because I'm preaching right now. Well, it may take a little more time. Oh my God, you ain't got to be that fanatical about it. It doesn't take all of that. Abel, there's not even any more room for that. Oh, I'm going to give it. Abel was so serious about it. He'd have come back and got that. Because offering's not just a noun. It's a verb. This is what Abel did. Hence, the scripture saying that he gave his firstlings. You can be seated. In the course of time, Cain brought some. Here's how Cain worships. You know, it's been a long day. That'll do. Oh, you know, God's not unreasonable. And, you know, after all, he gave me all this. And so he'll be good with a head of lettuce. Cain's problem was not his offering noun. Cain's problem was his offering verb. It was the way he offered his offering. Because all is not just S-U-M. All is S-O-M-E. Well, you're being too unreasonable. You're being too hard, Brother Gilbert. You're just being unreasonable. You know, there's a lot of people that don't even go to midweek service. This'll do. That's not how this thing works. And that's where Cain got himself in trouble. There's not very many things that Jesus told us to memorialize. One thing that he did tell us to memorialize, and it'll be told from that day forward, is a little woman that brought an alabaster box. Do you know that thing had an opening in it? It had, the way it was created and made and shaped, it had an opening. She could have taken and opened it up. But anything that's poured can be controlled.
And there's a whole lot of pouring going on in Pentecost. We can control when it's poured, how much is poured. There's one reason the Lord memorialized this woman. It's because she didn't try to divvy up. She broke it. It wasn't some. The curse of Cain was his attitude about his offering. I could be wrong. We'll find out. There's no way for you to prove that I'm wrong. I'm not talking about you. I'm just meaning you in general. There's no way for anyone to prove that I'm wrong. But I'm convinced that if he had filled his basket up with everything that he had, because God is not unreasonable. But he does expect the spirit in which we bring ourselves to be right. There's no way around the language of the kingdom. People want the miracles of the kingdom. People want the signs and the wonders of the kingdom. But there's no way he delineates what it looks like to get in the kingdom. All. Your heart. And he would go on and say, and I'll do this, 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 and I'll do this. But it's that historical hinge. What I do will be in response to the spirit in which you do what you're supposed to do. All of your heart, all of your mind, all of your soul, all of your strength. It does. The language doesn't change from one testament to the next. The prerequisite, the numero uno, first prerequisite of being a follower. He said, "If any man follow me, he must first deny himself." And Brother Gilbert, I can't get away from it. It's just like it's been in my, it's like a chicken bone. I know better than start talking about chicken with Pentecostals. But it's like a chicken bone stuck in my throat. It talks about those people in the last days that overcome. It's over there in Revelation. And it makes this statement. And I know why I never heard anybody preach this, because this is not something that's easy to preach. It said, and they love not them. What was it? And they love not their life unto death. All is an attitude. And there's some people on the sound of my voice right now, you're frustrated. It's not his fault. It's not her fault. It's not my fault. You're not going to be happy doing this. That'll do. And at the same time, we leave all that behind and we bring our one little deal telling God we love him so much. How much sense does that make? To tell him we love him so much and trying to see how little. I had somebody the other day say, they say, you don't really believe all that's heaven or hell, do you? I said, it ain't an issue about heaven or hell. There's things I do and don't do when I'm away from my wife, and it has nothing to do with divorce. How dysfunctional is that? You don't do that because you don't want a divorce? You're not in love. If you even talk about that word, you're not in love with that person. Do or don't do the things I do by myself because I'm worried about divorce or my wife leaving me.
The guiding force there is my love and my respect for her. That translates to a relationship with God. This is not a, no, he was shocked by my answer. I said, no, I don't believe, it's not even an issue of heaven or hell with me. I'm more worried about pleasing him. I got to live this life before I stand before the throne. I'm not doing this to keep up with my friends. I'm not doing this to impress anybody. Listen, Brother Gilbert's not trying to do this to make your life harder. Come on. What they do at another church is another church's business. You know what we're doing here? We are not just trying to stay out of hell. We're trying to please him. We're trying to gain access into favor and miracles and anointing. Come on. And power that will change this city. It doesn't take 6 months to take a bath. I got a daughter that I think she could stay in there 6 months. I'm like, do you read a book in there? Do they make waterproof books now? She will run us out of water. One human being. Somebody feels my pain right now. I'm like, are you watering the grass? I go to take a shower. There's no water. We're on a well. I said, are you watering the grass? Are the kids washing the SUVs? Or the ATV? What is going on? No, your daughter's been in the shower. Are you kidding me? It can't take that long to shave your legs. My God, have mercy. It doesn't take 6 months to take a bath. But you go read the story of Esther. And there were certain spices that she soaked in for 6 months. Her greatest issue was not fear. Of what wrong that he would, or evil that he would do to her. It's an access point. Well, it don't take all that. Okay. All right. You keep divvying up. And Cain gave some. I'm preaching to the choir right now. I know this, but this is too applicable not to say it. I'll go on Sunday mornings. God, okay, I'll say it. You want your business to be blessed? Then you better not be tithing on some. You take this little deal over here and you set aside your little spending money and you're going to really tithe on your spending money. That's the curse of Cain. That's going, this will be good enough. They don't need that much money. That ain't about much. Hey, let me clear the air here. That ain't about us needing your money. If you're paying tithing, why am I on tithing? Why am I on tithing? If you're paying tithing to support us, you missed the point. You know, tithing is God's honesty policy. He don't need your 10%. If he can feed a prophet by a raven and by a widow lady, God have mercy, he can figure out a way to feed me and Darren. Well, I don't pay my tithes to a church. I don't pay my tithes to a man. Come on. That's an honesty policy. God doesn't need my 10%. And there's a whole lot to this. Living for God business. And there's too many people that have decided they're going to take the Cain approach. Well, look, man, I got my hands full. All I'm saying is the Lord, look what he's doing. Look what he's done. I couldn't stay on the road. He texted me, are you okay? And I said, I feel it already. And it's because I was thinking about some of you that if you take the governor off, you got it dialed back. If you just really go full bore, do you know that not all people hold back, Pastor Gilbert? Not all people hold back because they're selfish. I'm fixing to get in the Holy Ghost right now. Some people hold back because they've been hurt. And so it's self-preservation. I can't do that again. I put all of my eggs in that basket before. You're so unhappy. You're so miserable. But you're self-preserving. The fact of the matter is, if you let that sit there long enough, I don't care if you claim that that's your pile. That's mine. You leave that little pile right there, it's going to rot. I said something a few months ago. I'm more convinced of this than ever. Do you know, I feel like one of the great signs that you've forgiven is when you get involved again. When you say you've forgiven, when you say you've let something go, but yet you're still reserved. How much sense does it make for you to say you've let something go, but you're still holding back? That's an oxymoron. You can't let something go and still be holding back. I don't care how you come around to being okay with some. Whether it's through selfishness or self-preservation. My God, am I preaching off notes right now? The Holy Ghost is talking. No matter how you arrive to being okay with some, whether it's selfishness or self-preservation, you're wrong either way. Brother Marks, you're being hard. No, I'm trying. I can't stand to see people live frustrated. If nothing else happens from these last three Wednesday nights, if nothing else happens but a switch being flipped in you, If we don't accomplish anything else, if something turns over and you go all in, you go full bore, it'll make these three Wednesday nights worth it. But there's more than just you. There's others. But I'm specific, and this ain't got anything to do with our past connections. I was on to you before you told me who you were and refreshed, and I ain't trying to embarrass you. I'm just telling you. You're not going to be happy until you take it all and put it all in that basket. And Brother Gilbert, what happens then is the person that's satisfied with just giving some, and they start living the miserable life that comes with giving some, then what happens is, I've watched this, man. I am a studier of patterns. I believe in spiritual sociology. I've been tempted to write a book. I've been watching patterns for 25 years. I watch what people do. If you have arrived that I'm just going to give God some because some's better than none, is it? Read the story. Is it? This ain't a deal that Abel got in the book of Hebrews and Cain didn't. No. Abel got in the book of Hebrews and Cain was cursed. disciples turned the world upside down. They walked away from everything. Elisha did twice the miracles of Elijah, and it was more than anything, it was the continuity of ministry. But what did he do? He broke the yoke and he slayed the oxen. So what happens in watching the spiritual sociology stuff, it's real. You get unhappy because we were put together to be our happiest when we're given everything. That's how we were made. So when you divvy up, what happens then? You get miserable, and then when you get miserable, we watch the curse of Cain. I've seen this over and over, pastor's wife. And so they lash out, and it's everybody else's fault. God said, and it wasn't like God didn't give him another chance. Why is your countenance long? You know what God was doing right there? Take your basket and go back and get the rest. That's what he's saying. But you know, again, it's the curse of Cain. Cain wants God to be okay with what he's given. Oh my God. Because it's better than what somebody else has given. You don't compare yourselves among yourselves. And there is a guideline that we all have to come in under. And it's all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. That's not Gilbert. That's not Marx. I have never seen anybody give an all that's a fault finder. Would y'all help me right now? You know I love you, don't you? At least nod your head. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm trying to help you and help this pastor, because I realize where this church is at right now, and this is such a critical juncture. I have never seen anybody give an all who's a criticizer. I've never seen anybody give an all who's going around the church wagging their tongue. Because if you're giving all, you don't have time to be wagging your tongue. I've never seen anybody give an all so in discord. I've never seen the all stumbling out of a prayer room with puffy eyes going, come on, I've never heard anybody come on, having given all in a prayer room, come out with swollen eyes, criticizing the pastor, come on, criticizing the direction of the church. People that are all in don't do that. Come on, people that are all in. Let's do this, pastor. If it's in your heart to do it, let's do it. If God's giving you the vision, let's go. I'm telling you, you say, I feel like we're in a waiting room. I feel like we're in a holding pattern. God has sent me with a prophetic word for True Church. We are in a polling pattern. It has nothing to do with the devil. It has nothing to do with your purpose. God is waiting on you to give all. And your all is what's going to activate the anointing. Your all is what's going to activate that next dimension. Checked. You can be seated. I went back and checked. It was such a deal with me over the years. I preached 10 different messages over the years. And I got to admit, 4 or 5 of them was pretty good on the possibilities. I mean, I was obsessed with it, Brother Gilbert, for years. For God to ding David, a man after his own heart. I'm telling you, I was obsessed. It possessed me. I want him. I want him to feel that way about me. I think it was last year. I was reading, and I'm like, you knothead. It's right there in the text. It's in the same verse. The same verse that he says, he's a man after my own heart. There's a comma there, and it says, and he shall fulfill all of my will. And all the preaching I've done all these years. There's one reason. Not because he was without fault or humanity. There's one reason that God said, that man's after my heart. Because he was all in. You know how he proved it? Come on. The first time he goes and tries to get the ark, it didn't work. Uzzah dies. Because they try to do it the way the Philistines did it. No, an all-in goes back to the drawing table and says, okay, it didn't work. We got to figure this out. He didn't give up on it. An all-in person doesn't give up on it. They figure out, where do we go wrong? Have you ever stopped to let your imagination think about the bloody path from Obed-Edom's house back to Jerusalem, where every six paces, come on, they sacrifice? That's an all-in kind of person. That's not somebody going, well, over there at that church, I mean, that's a whole lot more than what they're doing. I got family over there, Brother Gilbert, and they're not even doing this. Here, you ought to be happy with this. And that's the whole point, because this is not about making him happy or me happy. True church, I'm telling you, whether you believe me or not, what God wants to do in this area, I wish I had President Trump here to say huge, because he says it the best. It's huge. It is so big. I told the neighboring pastor, it come on me one night preaching about 7 miles from here. And I hadn't told you yet. I've traveled the world from Manila to Hong Kong to Turkey to Israel. I've been in every major city in the nation. I know what it feels like when God's put his finger on a place. I know from what I know about the history of this area and the hurt and everything hell's tried to do to squander, to confuse. That those things are all indicators to me that it's big. Because he said great is the door. But where there are great doors, there's great adversaries. That's why great adversaries have never driven me away. Because where there are great adversaries, there's great doors. Prepared tables are in the presence of enemies. Don't talk to me about the devils that are around here. Come on, yeah, there's devils. I understand there's devils, but there's angels, and there's purpose, and there's power, and there's anointing, and there's a future. I wish that I had the ability to take what I seen in my mind and put it on the screen when I pulled under this parking lot tonight. It's a building that'll swallow this one up. Three times swallow it up. Your pastor knows Cody Marks doesn't blow smoke. And I don't say, God said, I'm telling you, I seen it and it's... Offering is not just a noun. It's an action. All is an attitude. It's a spirit. And to whom much is given, much is required. Can I say what I feel right now? I'm trying to be gentle. Well, I just don't think it takes all that. Then quit asking for all that. I think that's only fair. Don't expect what you expect out of God and then recoil when God tells you what he expects out of you. That's not fair. That's not fair. God said, you know what he's saying tonight? I'm going to tell you the crossroads we're at. We're at a crossroads. And God's not going, he is not going to make you keep waiting. I don't know what that means. That's not a threat. I'm just telling you, he's not going to make you keep waiting. I don't know what that looks like. But it's not going to always be this holding pattern. It's not going to always be that this holding pattern. It's not going to. This is a space of time. It don't take all of that. Well, if it doesn't take all that, then we can't see all that. Has this church had prophecies? Does everybody that comes through here pick it up? I don't even know, other than what I know in the Holy Ghost. He ain't told me. Call him right now and ask him. Dylan Morgan prophesied things in this church that caused some of you to bug your eyes out. It's not me, and it's not Chris Green, and it's not Dylan. It's everybody that comes through here. We want that, but we don't want to give that. Well, and I'm agreeing with you right now, okay? I've never done this publicly. I'm preaching stuff right now. I've never preached publicly. It don't take all that. You're right. I'm going to tell you, there's a chance people can still be saved and it not take the extreme life that I'm talking about. We're not talking about just being saved. We're talking about a level of ministry and a level of influence and a level of anointing. To whom much is given. Do you know the Bible talks about knowledge and the receiving of knowledge being a weighty thing on the person that it's given to? You know, I feel the Holy Ghost being defensive right now. I feel the Holy Ghost pushing back. This is what I hear the Holy Ghost say. I'm only telling you what you got to do in order to receive what you've asked me to do. You cannot pick and choose what this church preaches. I mean, I guess you can. But you can't do that and be a part of the bigger picture of what God's doing. You got to take the whole thing. And I hear somebody saying, well, it ain't a big deal. That ain't a big deal. Well, if it ain't a big deal, then why ain't you done it yet? What's that? What are you making a big deal about? Well, if it ain't a big deal, then why is it a big deal? Right. And there's some people in here that are frustrated, and it's one or two little fine adjustments that if you just go ahead, and put it all in the basket. Not 2 weeks, not 3 weeks. Tonight. It'll be different that quick. But it's like in a spirit, it's like I feel people that, yeah, there's things about this church you like, but when it comes down to these things right here, there's still things you're wanting to hold on to. Maybe I just want revival too much. Maybe that's what it is.
But if I had to stand on my head, if God said, you got to stand on your hand to have revival, I'm going to figure out a way to do it. I can't, but I'm going to figure out a way. Because I'm not just here marking time. It's big. It is so big. I'm over an hour. Let's stand. Lift your hands and receive this right now. Shalom. I don't have anything to add or take away from that, but I think there's something I must underscore in what we just heard. I've heard a lot of tongues and interpretations, and I've heard a lot of prophecies. Did you hear what God just said to us? I have poured out my word. God mercy. I have poured it out. God. He's not a waster. And he's not going to continue to pour something out, God, that just falls on the ground. If there's a vessel here tonight that's going to receive the word he's poured out into you, into your mind, into your family, your spirit, if there's any all-inners here, I want you to come and I want you to find somewhere to pray right now. The presence of the Lord is here so strong. There's some husbands and wives that need to come together.
We are all in. We are all in. Come on, there ought to be a cry. There ought to be a prayer right now. You're so important. We need you, man. We need you, ma'am. We need you. We don't want anybody to go anywhere. We want you to throw yourselves into what God's doing here. I want God to know you hadn't just poured out onto the ground. You have poured it into me. I receive it. Come on, would you lift your voice and cry out to the Lord right now? We're not playing games. We're not going through the motions. We're not. No, 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 no. Come on, if you're all in, I want you to lift your voice. Indicate it by the volume of your voice right now. Come on, when you groan, that signifies a spiritual hunger. Open your mouth and groan right now. You want to see miracles groan. You want to see this church grow, groan. You want to see it go to the next dimension, groan. Don't just let your word be poured out on the ground. God, fill me up with what you've spoken here tonight. This church needs you. Come on, you're a part of the puzzle, sir. You're a part of the plan. Ma'am, you're a part of the plan. We need all hands on deck. Come on, I need some all-in cries. I need some all-in prayers. Folks, it's been a long time since I felt the Holy Ghost the way I feel it right now. Let's respond. Let's respond to what Jesus is doing. A vital part. You're not just another number. You're not just another parishioner around here. You're not just another Sunday morning head count. Come on. No, 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 no. You got a purpose. There's a reason you're here. There's a vital part for you to play. Oh, the blessing. Come on. Oh, the blessing. I just don't see that. If you'll open your heart, God will open your eyes to what I'm talking about. What a blessing. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Press in. Come on, press in. Oh, come on, press in. Come on, God's got a work for you. God's got a place. God's got something for you to do. There's a vital part of the body. Every member, come on, it fits in somewhere. Come on. Come on, some of you are so close. Come on, if you just latch a hold of what I'm preaching right now, come on, you get all as an attitude. It's going to revolutionize your life. It's going to turn things around. Come on, I come against that frustration. Listen, I'm trying to identify it for you. You don't have to live frustrated. You don't have to be miserable. You don't have to wonder where you fit. You fit. There's a place. There's a purpose. Oh, there's a beautiful response here right now. Come on, the Holy Ghost. Come on. That's it. All in. All in. Yep. 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 That's it, my man. I'm seeing some good signs, Pastor. I'm seeing some people. The water of God's word is not just being spilt on the ground. I feel like somebody's getting it in their vessel right now. Don't stop. Something's turning over right now. I feel something turning over. I feel a transition. I feel something happening in the atmosphere. Yep, yep. You're important. You do fit. This is where you belong. You've got a place here. My God, folks, something's happening right now. If you need to go, you can slip out. Come on, but there's something happening right now. There's some of us. Come on, we're not in any hurry. God's got a purpose. God's got a purpose. God's got, they wouldn't know if I wasn't even here. That's a lie. God's got a purpose. You're here for a reason. You're here with a divine, you're here with a divine purpose. You're a part of what God's doing here. It's big. I pray right now that as your eyes are closed and you're praying that God would give people visions right now. Give people a glimpse, just a glimpse, God. Maybe you'd show them that building I seen. Maybe you'll show them something in the spirit. Maybe you'll show them the size of the crowd. Maybe you'll show them their entire family coming in. Give them a glimpse into what I'm talking about right now, Jesus, and how big and how great and how powerful this is.